Chapter 15, 1775, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Second Continental Congress. A new nation is born. It was apparent to the delegates at the conclusion of the First Continental Congress in Philadelphia on October 26, 1774, that they needed to reconvene in Philadelphia and chose May 10, 1775 for that meeting. Many unresolved issues remained, including efforts to de-escalate potential conflicts, petitioning of Parliament for relief from the Intolerable Acts, the crumbling British authority within the colonies, economic boycotts of English goods, a way to handle disputes between the colonies and Great Britain, and what to do about the King's aggressive attitude toward the colonies. Before they could convene in May, however, the battles of Lexington and Concord took place on April 19th, initiating the Revolutionary War, thus compounding the delegates' problems. Regardless, the Second Continental Congress met a few weeks later with the colonies' delegates facing a plethora of unfinished and new issues. In the beginning, they acted as an ad hoc committee, trying to organize themselves into a cohesive group, and their first task was to form a Continental Army, select a commander, George Washington, and send them to Massachusetts. Over the following months, and out of necessity, the Second Continental Congress became the de facto national government. It operated over the next nearly 6 years, resolving issues and, in the process, creating a new nation. Over the coming months and years, they made decisions and implemented courses of action that included trying to raise and supply an army, declaring independence, establishing a foreign relationship with France, converting British colonial authority to American, trying to resolve currency issues, writing the Articles of Confederation, creating a new national government, and assigning a commission of five to negotiate peace with England. The Congress adjourned March 1, 1781. The Second Congress was not a traditional convention. The delegates at the First Congress sensed that the calling for the Second Congress would not be an ordinary meeting. Even though it was a multi-colonial gathering, it was not called by any one colony, as had been traditional. The subject didn't follow tradition either. It was not specific or limited. Rather, it was broad, vague, and inconclusive. The First Congress issued a conditional call for a Second Congress to meet on May 10, 1775, quote, unless the redress of grievances which we have desired be obtained before that time, end quote. The subject hinged on the outcome of unsettled and developing conditions between the colonies and Britain. The delegates knew the importance of the Second Continental Congress meeting, but there were too many moving parts to consolidate into a single subject. With little foresight of upcoming events, the Second Congress stayed in session for as long as the delegates deemed necessary. That turned out to be almost 6 years, whereas most prior colonial conventions lasted only a few days to a few weeks or so. During the period from 1774 to 1789, the Congress met in three incarnations. The First Continental Congress met briefly in 1774. The Second Continental Congress met from 1775 to 1781. The Articles of Confederation were ratified in 1781, thus making official the Congress, which then operated until 1789, and the ratification of the new Constitution. Over that period, 343 delegates from all the colonies participated. Peyton Randolph was elected president of both the First and Second Congresses. Charles Thompson was secretary for both. However, as might be expected, the positions turned over as events and personal situations changed. None of the previous nor subsequent conventions acted like the Second Continental Congress. It had to react to developing and changing conditions and make decisions for the colonies that conventions were not intended to do. It functioned as a legislative body rather than as a conventions body.